right. Welcome back to the Sounder Podcast, the podcast dedicated to the War on Hogs. Thank y'all so much for tuning in the show today. Got a good one for you. Going to be announcing the prizes for January's tournament. Get started in the leaderboard for February's tournament. Again, that is the True Hog Hunters Tournament. You can get signed up for at true-conservation.org for your chance at winning prizes every month just for being signed up. Remember, every hog submitted and approved gives you another chance at being drawn for a prize. Month of January had a pretty good month. Jarek Hocek had 16 hogs to win first in the tournament. Daniel Polanski followed with 9. Clayton Reynolds, Michael Peterson with 5. And then Clayton Reynolds with 1. That's 31 hogs in the month of January. So not a bad start for the year. Looking forward to ramping things up. It is probably the best time of the year to get out there and hog hunt. You still got a lot of guys out there with some corn in their feeders, protein in their feeders, stuff like that. So with it being wintertime still, it's pretty easy for a lot of them pigs to continue going to the feeders. You can get some easy kills without necessarily having to go out there and chase them. So in the month of January, we gave away a it's going to be a Sniper Hog Light Exterminator 3-3 feeder light. That's going to Jarek Hocek. We got a Frigidaire 10.3 cubic foot chest freezer. That's going to Daniel Polanski. And a Sniper Hog Light Guardian feeder shocker going to Army Hog Hunter 07. So three prizes for the month of January. Starting the year off right. We're going to be getting those shipped out to y'all real soon. We have Michael Peterson on the board in February with a total of 4 hogs. So it's still anybody's game right now. I got a feeling February is going to get pretty active if it's anything like the previous years of this tournament. So I was looking at getting out and doing some hog hunting this past weekend. God had other plans. Had daughter got sick, spent some time in the ER. And by the time we got home, my weekend was shot. So, good news. She's doing a lot better. We're fine. Everybody's good. And that's all I can ask for. I can go and hunt another day. So, I was planning on, I had borrowed a good friend of mine, Leo Janasek, let me borrow his brand new high-powered air rifle. This thing shoots a, I believe it's like a, is it a 350 grain projectile. It is a 457 diameter bullet, just a big chunk of lead, a giant slug, and this thing is scooting a muzzle velocity of about 930 feet per second. So equivalent to that of like like a 45 ACP almost, something like that. So obviously this isn't something that's going to be used at super long range, but within bow range, I was actually going to shoot it. We've sighted it in at 100. Very impressed by the accuracy results in the first few shots. Once you start, it's got an air tank on it, so once you shoot a few times and the air starts to, you know, the air pressure goes down, you start to get some inaccuracy there. But the first few shots are, they group really well. I was planning on sitting in the box blind and maybe shooting a pig at around roughly 70 to 80 yards. I believe this rifle was more than capable of doing that. Leo went all out, put the double suppress system on it, got a night vision scope for it, infrared light, all the gadgets, and I was excited to try it out. So didn't get to do that, but while sitting in the hospital, got a lot of time to think, and it made me wonder about some of the laws regarding firearms and boats. You know, this is something that I've talked about a little bit. We do sometimes dabble in the rules and regulations of where I hunt, at least, because it's good to keep up with that so you don't accidentally break the law. Law states that in public waters you cannot fire a firearm unless it's like waterfowl hunting, ducks, stuff like that. And it cannot be out of a moving vehicle. Well, that's pretty much, when you look up all the laws, what it states. As I quote the word, is always used as firearm. Well, these air rifles are not classified as firearms, which gets me thinking that can you run the river bottom in a boat or a canoe or whatever it may be and shoot hogs on the riverbank in the water with an air rifle? I don't think you'd be technically breaking the law because it's not a firearm. In fact, when you purchase one of these air rifles, and you can get these things suppressed, you can get them fully automatic, you can literally buy it like you're buying a BB gun. I mean, there is no background check. There is no ID. They don't have to ask for your ID, nothing. You can be a two-time felon and buy this thing and walk out the door with it, no problem, no questions asked, because it is not a firearm. And they are, you know, they're pretty powerful, like I said. There's lots of videos of guys out there hunting with these things. They're plenty capable. Obviously, they're not as capable of, you know, at distances like your usual bottleneck cartridge, your firearms like that, but they are plenty capable. If you can get within bow range, you're talking about really doing some damage. They come in all different styles, single shots, fully auto, stuff like that, short, long. I mean, they got all kinds of air rifles out there now, and they're not legally classified as firearms. So, and on top of that, the suppressor's with them too. It's not like a suppressor for a firearm, totally different can. So you don't have to go and do all the paperwork and, you know, make the trust and wait 9 months to a year or however long it takes to get it. You literally buy it with that gun and, or not with the air gun and walk out with it. So yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe get in touch with the local game warden and seeing what that, you know, if it's possible, because if so, you know, it would be worth the money to go out and buy something like a fully auto air gun or anything like that, run the river bottoms and shoot all the hogs that I've been talking about seeing for the past several years of running canoes, kayaks, and riverboats. So that's where they congregate in the summertime. There's no secret to it. I've seen hundreds of hogs in my lifetime of running the river. And a lot of times, especially being like a kayak or a canoe, you could sneak up on these things and they don't hear you coming until it's too late. You're right up on them. And even then in the boat, you know, we've been running these mud motors for so long, or I say long, the last couple of years, and, you know, very loud air cooled, like compressor motors that we're running. And you would think that that would scare everything off, and you'd be amazed at how many times, you know, we've driven right up on them, kind of caught them by surprise. And on top of that, when you do catch them, they tend to just want to swim across the river. So without shooting them off of private land, if they were in the river, it makes me wonder, like, you know, could we possibly do this? Is this something that we can utilize? Now, I got a feeling the moment we do and the moment we start to actually put them down and show significant numbers, I got a feeling the laws would change and they would classify, they would just take air rifles as well and throw them into the mix of firearms. But I think to do so, there's going to be a lot, it's a lot more than that. I really feel like there's going to have to be, there will probably be changes over time. The more people start to learn about these air rifles and what people are doing, I think the only thing really keeping them out of the hands of criminals as of right now, and having them being used in a bad way, is just the price on these things is not cheap. And, you know, you're talking about a few thousand dollars for the whole setup with the, you know, if you want to get the compressor and all that stuff to be able to refill your can. So they're not necessarily cheap, but you're talking about very little maintenance. They don't have they don't get all gunked up like your typical like AR or semi autos will because of the burnt powder and all that stuff. These are very clean running rifles. Only time will tell how long it really lasts, but so far so good. I've just been blown away in how accurate they are at 100 yards and with such a big heavy bullet at, I mean, like I said, it's 930 feet per second with a 350 grain bullet. I mean, you're not going to go out there and shoot long distance with it, but for just what a lot of us are doing down here in South Texas, you know, and what a lot of people are doing up north that are restricted to stuff like straight wall cartridges and all that, this could be, I think, something for the for future hunters to use more and more of as time goes on. So if you haven't seen them, haven't heard of them, check them out. Off the top of my head, I cannot remember the exact brand of that air rifle, but there's a few different brands out there. There's some YouTube videos of guys using them, and you can get them in multiple calibers and use them in all sorts of ways. So that's kind of where my mind is going as I start to approach, you know, early spring and start fishing a lot more on the river and running the river bottom. I know we're going to be running into a lot of pigs down there and, you know, not being able to hunt them legally is, it's almost painful when you are able to drive up on something in the middle of nowhere like that, and there'll be 20 hogs or so in a group, and they're just right in front of the boat swimming across the river, and you can't do anything about it. And you know they're going to go up in the bank, they're going to go in that farmer's land, because there's a field up there of crop that's been planted, and you know they're going to tear it up, and there's nothing you can do about it. It sucks. And I think that, like I said, this could be the answer to that problem. And it's something I'm going to look into a little bit more, and something I'm going to talk about more on the podcast as we go on. You know, we are officially done with deer season. We are in February now. It's time for me to continue feeding, continue keeping my cameras out there, getting ready for next deer season. I'm already very excited about what made it through deer season this year. As far as the numbers and the quality of bucks that we have, the up-and-comers, the future of the farm, very excited about that. So I'm going to keep the cameras going, keep a little bit of corn in the feeder, feed a little bit of protein, and just see where that goes. Got a food plot I got to plant here in the spring. And next big project, as soon as it dries up, is going to be working on the boat ramp, getting everything ready for that. I did a test run on the boat the other day. Been slowly but surely plugging a few holes that I find in the boat. It's an old riveted aluminum boat. It's seen some better days, so leaks a little bit. But I've been slowly patching holes on this thing and doing a little bit of work to it, making some adjustments, and dipped it in the pond for the first time. It did great. The only water that I found in the boat was when I was on plane. I was running pretty good, and I came to a pretty quick stop, and the wake from behind the boat, you know, dipped over the transom and splashed, I don't know, maybe half a gallon or so of water in the back of the boat, and that was it. For the most part, everything ran really well. I took a transom-mounted trolling motor, and I mounted it to the bow, which means that I flipped the head around. I had to build my own little mount for it. It was nighttime. I was back in my boat into the pond, got on the trailer, pushed it off the trailer, and went to jump in the boat. And when I did so, I leaned up on the trolling motor, and I snapped my trolling motor mount that I built, which irritated me a little bit, but at the same time wasn't the end of the world, because it needed to be, you know, lowered about 2 inches or so, just because when I was really given, you know, full power of the trolling motor, I was cavitating, that the prop wasn't all that deep. So I cut a couple inches off. I rebuilt the thing, got it remounted, got the trolling motor back on, looking forward to testing it out again. This is also the first time that I've really like ran the lights at night. They work the headlights work great. They put off plenty of light. I should be able to see, you know, where I'm going at night on the river. The only thing, I did mount blue LEDs inside and out outside of the boat. They give you enough light to kind of understand, you know, where you're walking so you don't trip over anything. But as far as like enough light to be able to tie knots and stuff like that and really work with your gear, not necessarily bright enough. So I'll probably be adding a couple more LEDs, you know, here soon, whenever I have time to do that and get that all rigged up. But that's not necessarily something that has to happen right off the bat. I always have a headlight and a flashlight and stuff like that in the boat for those particular things. But anyway, it ran fine, and I'm pretty excited about getting back on the river. I got a few plans to rebuild some lines, get some lines set, and like I said, hopefully, you know, get out there and chase a few pigs on the river, because that's always fun, and just kind of see what late winter and early spring has to offer. And then as summertime rolls around, really start getting back into maybe some alligator gar fishing, and chase. You know, I saw the biggest gar of my life last year while catfishing with my brother, and that, watching that gar work those shallows and chase bait, just being so aggressive and just, you know, just coming out of the water, getting a good look at that, at the size of that gar, got the blood flowing, and it's something I haven't really been able to get out of my head since seeing that, and it makes me want to get out there, restring some of my reels, and get back to making my own leaders and go sit in that hole and seeing if I can catch him or something like it. So I'm pumped up about fishing this year. Need to get the skid steer back. Like I said, it's been getting maintenance, and get my trap set. We still have hogs on the property. Been running around. Number one thing that I have to do very soon is replace batteries in my cell cam, probably in all my cameras, but for sure my cell cam. I need to readjust it. I don't know if a squirrel or something or a raccoon jacked with it, but now it's kind of facing up into the sky, and I'm just getting a bunch of, actually the batteries are completely dead now. It stopped taking photos, but every time the wind would blow, I was getting tree limbs and tree limbs and tree limbs, just basically just trees for photos, and it took a few hundred photos of trees, and then it finally died. So I need to get down there, put a little feed in the protein feeder, adjust my cell cam, and get back to it. If the air rifle thing doesn't happen anytime soon, I still have the tree stand up. I can climb in the tree stand, do a little bow hunting. Wouldn't mind getting a pig that way. But yeah, it's been a little slow as far as getting in the woods here lately. We've been very busy, and it's going to continue being busy for a little while. But we have turkey season coming up, and I have already heard, I think it's going to be a great turkey season. And the reason I say that is because starting in January, I already heard turkeys gobbling on the river very early. So I'm hoping as we approach March that it just gets better and better. I heard them the other day walking out to the pond, and just excited about possibly getting a turkey. I've been saying that now for, this is going to be my third season of attempting a hunt. I haven't got a turkey yet, but that's my fault. I haven't really put in full effort, full amount of time. I've just gone out a couple times, and so my brother-in-law shot one the first year we went, and then last year it just didn't really pan out for me. So going to do something different this year, probably get the pop-up and get it set up, do some calling, and stay stationary. The past couple seasons of hunting, we called and we walked and we called and we walked, and we really just tried to find the turkeys. And I think the way that our land is those turkeys are, I know that they're roosting close enough. I just need to be out there really early. I need to start calling right at dawn, and hopefully have them come in and give me a shot. So I'm going to be persistent on focusing on an area this year and try to get them to come to me. I think with enough effort, maybe a couple decoys and some practicing at the call, I can manage that. And I just think that's going to work for me. I've tried the other route. It's a lot of fun. We've had some success doing that, but I feel like we almost spooked them in a way, just calling too much, moving too much. I think we really kind of confuse those gobblers when they're hearing, kind of the same hen all over the property. I don't know if they're smart enough to distinguish that, but I haven't had a lot of success that way. So going to try it my way, see if it works. I honestly think either way will work. I just want to kind of sit back and let them come to me, get a nice decoy set up, and call. And I think that they're going to be within a couple hundred yards or so, starting off, I think, was where they're roosting. Most of them, I think, roost across the river from me, but I've seen them fly across that river. I've called them across the river before. So hopefully going to have success in the spring of turkey hunting and get the trap going, hopefully get some pigs before it gets too hot, like I said, and get out on the river and do a lot more fishing this year. I've been doing everything else, as most of you probably listening to this podcast can relate. You get busy with work and life and everything else, and you put your hobbies kind of to the side a little bit, and I finally at that stage where my kids are getting a little bit older, and like I said, my youngest one, she's all about fishing. So it's gonna be, even if we're not on the river, good chance we're gonna dump the boat in the pond, troll around a little bit and go catch some panfish and just kind of get her used to being on the water. That's probably gonna happen very soon, and then as she gets more comfortable and just kind of better at understanding the boat and all the hazards that go along with that, we'll try to get her on the river a little bit more too, and eventually get her on some catfish and some gar. We fished off the rocks and all that, but she's only been in the boat one time. The river was very low, and it was difficult to navigate, and we were bouncing off some rocks, and it was just kind of sketchy, and I could tell she wasn't really into it. She was a little nervous, a little scared, and I didn't want that to be her first experience. So I decided, you know what, we're just not going to attempt it. I'm going to get her back to the house, and we'll try another time when the river's not so low. So we've had rain. Looks like we got more rain in the forecast, and I'm hoping we can go into spring with a good river. The past couple years have just been brutal, very low, very hard to navigate, very dangerous. And so I'm hoping we have maybe a wetter year and the river cooperates. I think it'll be great. The fishing should be great either way, but it's usually even better for lines when you got a little bit more extra water flowing through. So I'm looking forward to getting out there setting lines. It's been a long time since I've done that, but I got to rebuild some first, and then make that kind of like my weekend thing. But chasing pigs, like I said, this is the time of year to do it. A lot of you guys out there with dogs have access to your properties again now that deer season's done. I know some guys probably further south zone are still got some MLD tags and all that, but for the most part, it's done. At least around here, a lot of people are starting to let their feeders run dry. But if you have access to a spot, there's still corn in your feeder, or you plan on continuing to feed throughout the year, you're going to have a pretty good shot the next couple months, I think, of getting pigs showing up. Just because we actually had some real freezes this year that took away a lot of what these deer are nibbling on. But with the rain, we've had some clover pop up lately. And I'm going to say this, and this could all change overnight. Everything could go dry and just be absolutely awful in just a couple weeks. But I think if it continues to rain the way it has been, especially with some of these big rains, we've had our ponds full and all that here in the wintertime, if we can continue to get that all the way up until like June, even better be about mid-June, and we don't have such a rough summer, we should have some really good deer this upcoming season and the season of 2024. Possibly. You know, we did have a really, really bad drought the past couple years, and we still had some pretty good deer hanging around, but I really feel like a wet year can kind of take us over the top. And I'm talking about, I mean, my home county, Karnes County, which has made a huge improvement, I think, on just overall size of the bucks around the area and the number of bucks that we've had in the area. We had a really good rut this year. So if we can keep our predator population down, we can continue hunting those dogs, bobcats, stuff like that. And when these fawns start to hit the ground, I think that we can do, you know, if we can shoot some coyotes and save those fawns, just, you know, we should have a pretty good survival rate. The coyotes are around the area. I've seen a couple on the farm. I don't hear near as many anymore. I'm pretty sure that a lot of them are also on that rear bottom, going back to hunting hogs with an air rifle out of the boat. That air rifle would also come in handy on hunting the coyotes too, because I've seen quite a few, and I could, you know, you drive through this river, the banks are really steep, and you can see where their dens and stuff are. I ran up on a lot of coyotes that way. So they're a little harder than the pigs. They're obviously, I think, a lot smarter. They see any sign of humans or human life, and they tend to, you know, book it and get out of Dodge. When a pig sometimes will make a mistake and actually run towards you, I think a lot of that's because of their eyesight. Coyotes have a lot better eyesight than a pig, and they know to get out of there. But really looking forward to what the year brings. I kind of rambled on in today's episode, but I appreciate y'all tuning into the show. Appreciate y'all having the time to listen. Again, I want to say congratulations to our winners. If you are just tuning in, we gave away our first place is a Sniper Hog Light Exterminator 3 feeder light. Second place got the Frigidaire 10.3 cubic foot chest freezer. And third place got the Sniper Hog Light Guardian feeder shocker. Again, that was Jarek Hocek in first, Daniel Polanski in second, and Army Hog Hunter 07 in third. To give you an idea, I start off the show and I always announce that True Hog Hunters Tournament is a tournament that gives back to hunters. If you get signed up, the moment you get signed up, you automatically have a chance of winning, whether or not you submit a hog or get that hog approved. Army Hog Hunter 07 is a prime example of this. End up winning a prize and did not have a single hog submitted in the month of January. Now, Jarek Hocek and Daniel Polanski were our first and second place winners according to the leaderboard, but that does not matter when it comes to winning prizes. They just have extra tickets in the hat for drawing. So every hog that you submit and approve is an extra ticket on top of the one that you automatically have for being signed up. So, for instance, Jarek Hocek had 16 hogs for the month. He actually had 17 tickets in the hat because you automatically get one for being signed up. So the more hogs you get, the better chance you have at winning. Jarek Hocek is a prime example of that. That guy wins just about every month because he's going out there hustling and putting a lot of hogs down, and he's gotten a lot of stuff from it. So good for him. Good for Daniel. Congratulations, guys, and continue to keep up the good work. Y'all have really put a lot of hogs down. You can check out our website again. That's true-conservation.org. Once you're signed up, you have access to leaderboards. You could see on our map where all the hogs are being eradicated from. Every time you submit a hog, you're going to get a little blue pin. We update that monthly. So if you're hunting a new area on the map and you get your hogs approved and you don't see your pin, it's just because we haven't updated the map yet. We try to do that once a month. So at the end of the month, you should be able to go in and see where you're hunting and see your blue pins, and that'll give you your username. It'll give you your coordinates, all kinds of stuff. Really, really cool website. I highly suggest y'all check it out. Like I said, we're going to be giving away some prizes every month this year for all of y'all to get signed up. Your submission fee. This is a nonprofit organization. Your submission fee goes into helping purchase these prizes and give back to the hunters that are going out there and eradicating this invasive species, these wild hogs that are going in and a direct competitor with all our native wildlife, tearing up our farms and our ranches and causing billions of dollars worth of damage annually in the United States. And they're quickly taking over. They're getting into, I mean, they're pretty much nationwide now. If you keep track of the map, even the northern states that are, everyone thought they'll never have wild hogs up there because it's too cold. They're starting to see pigs up there. And in fact, they're starting to see a pig that's different than the pigs we have down here, a bloodline that can last through those cold freezes, those cold snaps, those winter spells. These pigs are very opportunistic, and they're very tough, and they're omnivores. I mean, they will eat anything. So they will eat their own. They can be cannibalistic at times if need be. So very opportunistic. They take advantage of the food that they stumble across, everything from roots and grubs and plants and stuff like that, and all the crops that we grow to ground nesting bird eggs. They've been known to even eat the young of other animals like deer, very young fawns. They've been known to eat their own young. They've been known to actually eat the corpses of their own as well. So very morbid, but that's the way that they survive, and that's the way that they continue to grow on population. Very tough, and that's why we're seeing so many of them. That's not like, I don't like to compare them to too many other animals because there's really not anything like them. They're very smart, and they're very quickly to adapt to the habitat around them. This isn't a problem that we can transfer anywhere else. It has to be eradicated. So it's what we're doing. We're getting the world's largest army together, which is the American Outdoorsmen. And if we can get everybody involved, I think between trapping and hunting and just raising awareness, that we can bring these populations down to a much more manageable level. Obviously, you know, our goal is to not make anything extinct. We just want to manage it, and that's what we're trying to do in true conservation. If we can bring them down to a much more, I believe that wild hogs do serve a purpose. They can be of good in some things. I am one, I preach on the show a lot that they're a really good source of protein, really good source of meat. If you have never tried wild pork, I highly suggest it. And you can hunt these things at a very affordable rate if you are looking at getting into hunting. It's another thing I preach all the time. You could find hunts on Facebook for $100 a hunt. I don't know how guaranteed they are. I don't know what all that entails, but I see them advertised on a lot of the hunting groups. And for $100 to $300 a head, that'll get you a really good hog hunt, at least get you started. So there's a lot of guides out there. If you are interested in getting in, Facebook is a great way to start. Check out some of these outfitters. Check out some of these high fence ranches. Sometimes these ranches do get wild hogs on them, and they're more than willing to sell hunts for an affordable rate, so you can go out there and hunt pigs at usually a day rate. You don't have to stay the night, spend all that money as well. So yeah, check it out. I got wild pork in my freezer right now. It is delicious. I highly suggest that you try it. There's several recipes online. Anything out of the Meat Eater Cookbook, I highly recommend. check out, if you haven't watched the Meat Eater episodes, check those guys out as well. They got a few episodes of them cooking wild pork and really discussing how to make it just that much better and how to prep it. Preparation is key, especially in those bigger, older pigs, especially pigs that have been on a much more harsh diet, anything living up in a much drier, I guess, more drought-affected area. I would highly suggest marinating a little bit longer, doing what you can in preparation of that meat, smoking it as long as you can, stuff like that. So, guys, that's going to do me on time. I thank y'all so much for tuning in to the Sounder Podcast. Remember, you can get signed up, true-conservation.org, for your chance at winning prizes every month in the True Hog Hunters Tournament. Get out there, hunt pigs. We still got a lot of time left in this month of February. We're going to be giving away prizes at the end of the month. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be announcing those soon. I'm out of here. Y'all have a good one.